If you open your packets to the first page, you'll see in front of you, you'll have to turn it sideways. This is the part, it's interactive, so you have to turn it so you can see what it says. You see in front of you, this here, Megillas Tainis, is the first ever piece of Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah that was ever written down. This is it right here. We know that at Sinai, God gave the written Torah and the oral Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. But the oral Torah was always kept oral, was passed down from teacher to student. Until this is written before the Mishnah even, this is the first piece ever written, Megillas Tainis. So you ask me, what is Megillas Tainis? Well, at least you know this isn't actually what it looked like. This is actually all, you know, actual real font. Not handwritten, but it looks pretty good. But so if you turn back your page to the normal direction, and turn to the next page, page number 3. The Gemara says, it's in Rosh Hashanah, that this piece, this Megillas Tainis, which we have all in front of us, is no longer observed, whatever it is. So what is it? So look at number 1. Says the Gemara, on the first line, Tanaihi, the Tanya, Hayomim Ha'elu, Haksubim Megillas Tainis, the days that are listed off. The Megillas Tainis is a list of holidays that used to be observed during the Second Temple period. They had a list of almost 40 holidays. We don't have almost any of them nowadays. The Gemara says, Megillas Tainis, Bein Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam, Bein Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayam, Asurim. That is usher to have a fast or a hesped on these days. That's what the Gemara says. And then the Gemara says, B'yosi Omer, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam, Asurim, but Mipnei SheSimcha Hi Lahem, Ein Beis HaMikdash Kayam, Mutarim, Mipnei SheEvel Hu Lahem. So the Gemara says, as machlokes, all these 40 days in this calendar, list of holidays, is a machlokes whether or not they are observed after the temple was destroyed. There's two opinions, whether yes or no. So the Gemara then says, v'hilchasa batlu. The first opinion says, they all went away. Every last holiday, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they all disappeared. Then the Gemara says, v'hilchasa lo batlu. A different opinion says that they are still alive. We still keep the holidays. So what's pshat, says the Gemara? Lo kasha kan b'chanaka upurim kan b'shar yomei. Says the Gemara, there's a difference. If you look at this list here, turn back to the first page, you'll see in... I made the months a little bit bigger so you can see them. Just look in the second column. You'll see where it says B'Kislev. If you see Kislev right there, second. So if you look at all the arrows on your pages, right? You should have arrows. See the arrow, right? Okay. So that one says right there, B'Esrin V'Cham Shabbat. This is the 25th day of Kislev. Chanukas Tamanya Yomin. You have Chanukah, which is for 8 days. The Lola Misbehom. You're not allowed to have any Hespedim on Chanukah. Then if you see, you go down to Adar. So that's a little bit farther down on the page. You look 4 down after Adar. It says, Ba'arbe Sarbe U'Bechame Sarbe Yomei Puraya. They're the days of Purim. In the low, the misbid. You can't have a hesped on those days. So the Gemara says that we have a whole list of almost 40 days that we used to observe as holidays. It used to be, you know, big Yomim Tovim we used to have. But once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, all of them went away except for Chanukah and Purim. We all know that the only Durabban holidays that we observe are Chanukah and Purim. We don't have every other holiday we observe are all Yom Tovim Daraisa. So, the question is, why is that? Why are Chanukah different? Why is Chanukah and Purim, why are they still observed nowadays? Why don't we get rid of them and the rest of them? Rabbi Eisenberg mentioned that you have, that we were zochet to have chocolate coins here because of Chanukah. So, this year will be, you'll see, you'll get a double whammy. You get Chanukah shir and Yom Ha'atzmaut shir all in one. So it's perfect. So the question is, why are Chanukah and Purim different? So if you turn to the next page, page number three. If you look at the bottom of page number three, you see there that is the image is the actual image from the arch of Titus or Titus in Rome, which you see there pictured is the menorah that they're carrying back from Israel to Rome. So the Gemara in number three says the following. We're in page number four. Says the Gemara. We want to know, the question is, we're going to focus on Hanukkah because almost Hanukkah. Hanukkah is another 4 weeks. We'll focus on that. Why did we get rid of the rest of them but keep Hanukkah? That's the question. Says the Gemara. We're going to skip down to the very bottom, the last line. El Amar of Yosef. If you see, it is 1, 2, 3, 4, last line. Last line, three words in. El Amar of Yosef. Shiny Hanukkah de Mefarsim Nisa. The Gemara wants to know, why is it that the rest of them are all batel except for Hanukkah? So answers the Gemara, that Hanukkah is different because there was greater Persume Nisa. There was greater publicization of the miracle of Hanukkah. We had a lot of holidays listed here with lots of great things happening to Klal Yisrael. We'll go through some of them in a little bit for the Megillas Tainis. But Hanukkah was different because Hanukkah had a very high level of Pirsum Nisa, publicizing of the miracle. That's what the Gemara says. So the question we have to ask ourselves, because we're all thinking Jews, is that really true? Was Hanukkah's miracle really that much greater and that much Pirsum Nisa than anything else? We all know, right? So the first thing we have to ask ourselves is, well, what is the miracle that we're celebrating on Hanukkah? Any suggestions? What's Hanukkah commemorating? So there's, so I hear two things. We hear either the war victory or the oil victory, right? So, and if you look at many sources that tell you it's actually, it's both, right? It's the oil and the war. But I want to make the case, and we'll see why, that Hanukkah, the holiday, is only commemorating the miracle of the oil. Exactly. So if you look at number four, so the Megillas Tainis, which we quoted from in the beginning of the Shir, we'll be quoting from, you'll see from the most of the rest of the Shir, we'll be quoting from that same piece of paper, same Sefer, that same work. In the 7th century, this Sefer was written already in the 2nd century, many years beforehand, but in the 7th century, so before this is after the Gemara, but before the Rishonim, around the Gaonim time, there was an addendum added to Megillas Tainis, which explained the holidays. Because if you look through it, all it does is list the days and Isser Tainis, Isser Hesped. It doesn't say what happened for almost all of them. So there is an addendum written by one of the probably the Gaonim during that time period, which explains what the basis for each holiday was. If you look at number four, page number four, source number four, says the Megillah, Be'esrin v'chamisha bay. This is for the 25th day of Kislev, Yom Chanukah. It's the holiday of Chanukah. Taman Yom, and it goes for 8 days, or there's 8 crazy nights. Delo l'mitzvah home. You have an iser of hesped. Now here comes the explanation. What's it for? Shekishen nichnesu yevanim laheichal. When the Greeks entered into the Beis HaMikdash, Timu kol hashamanim shebeheichal. They made all the oil in the Beis HaMikdash impure. Ukeshegavra yad beis chashmonai v'natzchum. And when the Maccabees, Judah Maccabee, and all his good friends, the Chashmonaim, when they conquered and took over from the Greeks, barku v'lo matzu elapach echad. They only found one pure flask of oil. They only had enough for one day. And a miracle happened and it lasted for 8 days. So the Shana Acheres, after that, Kavum Shmona Yamim Tovim. They had a holiday lasting for 8 days. So it seems pretty clear from Megillas Tainis that the miracle that we celebrate in Hanukkah is the miracle of the oil, not of the war victory. And if you say, well, what do you mean? It says in that same piece, we should govern Yad Beis Chashmonai, right, when they won the war. So also commemorating the war. So I'm going to bring you, if you turn the page, numerous proofs that there were other days set aside in Megillas Tainis for the war victory, but that was not the story of Hanukkah. If you look at number 5, says the Megillah, Be'esrin v'shiva bay. This refers to the 27th day of Iyar. We don't have the holiday nowadays. It doesn't exist. But what happened? If you skip down, it says in the second line, V'tohin oso al pischei vodazara shalahem. They used to al pischei chanuyos al pischei hachatzeros v'sharin b'shirei vodazara. They would force the Jews to incorporate vodazara into their lifestyles. U'kishagavar yed beis chashmonai. When the Jews reconquered, they were able to get rid of the Avodah Zarah. The Yom Shebitlum Asu Yom Tov. So the first, the Megillah explains, they used to make the Jews incorporate Avodah Zarah into their observance. And when the Chashmonaim won the war, they got rid of the Avodah Zarah. They made a Yom Tov for that. And then again in number 6, it says, if you look at the beautiful picture of our lovely rabbis, Rabbi Schwartz should have her for Shalema. You should know, if you Google Beis Din, I'm not sure this is only because I was in Chicago, but if you Google Beis Din, so Wikipedia, you know, obviously it looks telling you what it is, and the image on the side of the page, but Wikipedia has this picture right there. So I'm not sure if it's anywhere in the world you Google it. Maybe Google knows because it was in Chicago, but probably they have it because obviously this is the best Beis Din in the world. But it says the Megillas Tainis in for Chodesh Av Be'esrin Ve'arba Bay, with the 24th day of Av. We have another holiday. Why was that? Because Bimei Malchus Yavon Hayudanin Bedina Hagoyim. They got rid of the Jewish courts. We know, right? Hanukkah, one of the things we celebrate is having the Jewish courts again. When they reconquered, they're able to retake the Jewish courts. Chazru Lidum Bedina Yisrael. We had Jewish courts again. Os Hayom Shabbatlum Aso Yom Tov. And the day which they won that part, they were able to regain Jewish courts. They made a Yom Tov for that. It seems pretty clear if you're following the flow that it wasn't an overnight battle. It was a process. So little by little, they had more and more sovereignty. First, they got rid of the Avodah Zarah. Then they got back Jewish courts, and we'll see. And then the next source, number 7, they got rid of a terrible gzera. This one is, you know, also another famous one which you all also associate with Hanukkah. If you look at number 7, the Gemara, the Megillah says, if you look at the if you look at, I'm going to say it outside. This one says that they used to make the Jewish girls, before they got married, first have relations with the Greek general, the Greek king, whoever was the governor of the area. And obviously that was a terrible tragedy to force the Jewish girls to do so. And when they regain control, they're able to get rid of that terrible decree. Look at the after the three dots and then number 7, Ubas Achas. Does everyone see the words Ubas Achas? Haisa Lamatisyo Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. He had a daughter. Ukeshegia Zman Alinase. When it was her turn to get married, what happened? Ba Hakastarin, the Greek governor or whoever, came to Latama to force her to have relations. Vlonichoso, and they didn't let him. Vikanu Matisyo Banov, and they rose up. Vegaver Yadam al Malchus Yavan Venimstru Biyadan Vahargum, and they killed him. Ves Hayom Shabitlu Aso Yamtov. So they this is one of the victories of the Hanukkah story of this whole victory over the Greeks, was the ability to no longer allow the Greeks the ability to have control of the Jewish girls. And number 8, another part of the victory, the Melchama, the Megillah says that they used to not allow the Jews to write shtaros with God's name in it. We know, obviously, in all our shtaros, when we have a Beis Din, we're familiar, you write God's name in the shtar. But they didn't like write God's name. They had to write a Avodah Zarah name in it. And that also, when they conquered that ability, they also made a yantif for that. And number 9, doesn't have a picture, you'll see why in a second. If you look at it, I'm going to read inside. Be'estrim betwasa lemarcheshvan, or lemarcheshvan, Istaser Suriga Minazarta. They got rid of this Suriga. What was it, Suriga? Peneshebanu Sham Goyim Makom Vemidu Allah Vesazonos. They used to put in the Beis Hamikdash harlots, in the actual Beis Hamikdash. So obviously that was one of the things they wanted to get rid of. And therefore when they won that part of the war, they were able to get rid of the Zonos, the harlots from the temple. Harlot. Harlot. Prostitute. Is that a cleaner word? I don't know. Harlot's a cleaner word? Sorry, is that like a well-known word, harlot? Okay. If you learn one thing today, you learn what the word harlot means. There you go. That's why we come to these lectures. So we see clearly from the Megillas Tainis, from the whole piece of it as a whole, that there was no specific day commemorating the war victory. There were outcomes of the victory that we celebrated. We celebrate the fact that we can then, you know, have Jewish courts. We're able to no longer have our daughters, you know, be under the control of the Greek generals. We celebrate the ability to have God's name in our shtaros, the ability to have get rid of Avodah Zarah, to get rid of the harlots from the temple. These are all, we celebrate outcomes of the war. And one of the outcomes of the war, which is a separate holiday, was the fact that we were able to then enter the base of Mikdash and attempt to relight the menorah. So the holiday of Hanukkah is strictly for the miracle of the oil. So the question is, if that's the case, so then what about that miracle was so great that we still celebrate to this day? You know, it's been almost 2,000 years since we had, more than 2,000 years even, since we had this miracle. So what are we still celebrating? Why is it so much more important than the other miracles that took place? As a matter of fact, if you look at number 10. We're not going to read it inside because it's long. So I'll say it outside. But the Megillah describes a fascinating historical event. During the Second Temple period, there arose a new ruler over the region. His name was Alexander the Great, Alexander Mokdan, right, from Macedonia, Mokdan. And he was quickly conquering everything and running through foreign lands like it was no one's business. And he gets to the land of Israel, and there were many people living in Israel at the time, their name were Kusim, they were not Jewish, and they had a big vendetta against the Jews living in Israel at the time. Lovely Jewish neighbors, lovely non-Jewish neighbors that we had in the land of Israel. And they sent a letter to Alexander asking him to give him permission to wipe out and destroy the base of Mikdash. And initially, Alexander seemed to be, he was going to give permission to get rid of the Beis HaMikdash. So Shimon HaTzadik, who was the Kohen Gadol at the time, went out and left the Beis HaMikdash to greet Alexander as he was coming in to Yerushalayim. And the Medrash describes that Alexander's coming on his big white horse and chariot and everything, and Shimon HaTzadik comes in the Kohen Gadol and all his priestly garb out of the Mikdash. And he comes and appears in front of Alexander. And Alexander gets off his horse. And everyone's like, oh my God, he's going to kill him. And it's Alexander gets down and bows down to Shimon HaTzadik. And he's like, what in the world's going on? Like, this is Alexander the Great. They don't call him great for nothing, you know? And Alexander goes ahead and says that, you know, every time before I go out to war, I have this vision of this person who comes to me in my dreams and blesses me with Hatzlacha, Brocha Hatzlacha, right, in the battles. And this is him. This is you. You're the one who comes to bless me for all my victories. And because of that, Alexander says, you know what, I'm not going to destroy the temple. I'll let it be. And it wasn't destroyed. Kachal, it wasn't destroyed. This miracle took place in public, in front of everybody, in Yerushalayim, in front of the whole Gantz, the Jewish people, and all the Greeks, and everyone was watching this whole fascinating, mind-blowing episode. And yet, this miracle, this holiday, we no longer celebrate. It was in Megillas Tainis. It was the 21st day of Kislev, 4 days before Hanukkah, and maybe Even Chabad doesn't celebrate. They celebrate Yat Kislev, right? Even this one isn't celebrated. 21st, and no one celebrates it nowadays. It's gone. And this was a smaller miracle than the oil singlet for 8 days. Wasn't so much more consequential even? Like, Shkayach, 8 days of lights, it's great. But Alexander Ward decimated the entire temple, the entire Jewish people in Yerushalayim. Not only that, if you think about it, look at turn to page 8. You see here, it's going to be a little bit of a twisting and turning. You can twist, you don't have to shout. But this is a diagram, a drawing of the second temple, which is what we're referring to right now. You want to know, where was this menorah that lived for 8 days? It was such a great miracle. Where was it? Anyone know where it was? So if you look at the arrow on your charts, I'm going to see the arrow. All the way inside the Heichal. Guess who could see inside the Heichal? Only the Kohanim. Who here is a Kohen? Raise your hand. Not a single person. Any Kohanim here? One. Okay. Only would have been able to see it. None of us could have seen the miracle even. So how many? So that's like 100, 1,000 Jews? The Hamonon couldn't even see the miracle. They're like, yeah, it's so awesome. They're like, but you can't see it. That's Pesumah Nisa. Doesn't Pesumah Nisa mean like, a lot of people sing it, you know, like Chabad, they did these build menorahs, they put them in the middle of the street corners. We couldn't even see the menorah being left for 8 days.
We could see the light.
What is that?
We could see the light.
See the light.
Because the windows were the opposite of the way they usually were for a fortress. In a fortress, imagine a half circle. From the outside, it was a narrow slit.
Interesting.
The soldier, the archer, could stay inside the half circle and shoot arrows out. So it was easy for them to shoot the arrows out, but because it was a narrow slit on the outside, it was hard to get arrows from the outside in. But on the temple, it was reverse, to let as much light out as possible.
So that's true, but
so we could see light.
But I'm not sure that was from the Heichal. Heichal was the inner part of the temple. There were many other menorahs, you're right. We think of the one menorah, there were many main menorahs. That was like the last back then. There were many menorahs in the basement, but the menorah which we have the mitzvah of was only in the Heichal, and you could not actually see inside to see it. So like, why was it such great Pirsumah Nisa? We didn't even see the menorah. We didn't even see it. It's Pirsumah Nisa. On top of that, this part, next piece is going to almost blow your mind. There you go. If you look at number 11, this is actually crazy. When I read this for the first time, I could not believe this is true. Look at it. This is also Megillas Tainis. Look at number 11. Uchigavra Yad Beis Chashmonai Heviu Shiva Shepudi Barzel V'chafum Bebeitz V'hischilu Lahadlik. The Jews reconquered the Beis Hamikdash, and they went inside, and guess what? The menorah was gone. The Greeks took it. It wasn't there anymore. So what did they do? They took 7 rods, probably from my father's garage, took these rods, and they stuck them into a wood block, and they made a hodgepodge menorah, the kind you make it, you know, when you're in first grade, you know, at Ari Kahn Hall Tor, whatever it is. That's what they made. You know, they stuck it in the ground, you know, like a good stuck, and they got it in, and they made this, you know, funky menorah. They didn't even have a real menorah. This is a great miracle. They're lighting this, like, you know, hodgepodge, you know, arts and crafts project. Whoa.
It's the oil.
It's the oil. Yeah. Psst, the oil. Why is this is such a great miracle that this hodgepodge project, you know, lasted for 8 days? No one even saw? Derech Agav, this is an interesting aside, there's a big machlokes. What the shape of the menorah was in the Mikdash. And the reason why it's a big machlokes is because there's two different strong historical proofs for either direction. The first, if you turn back to page number 3. Page number 3. You see, this is the actual, the bottom, right, the Arch of Titus. This is the sculpture was made in commemoration of Titus' victory from Jerusalem. And they have right there the menorah. What does the menorah look like? It's rounded. Right? It's rounded. Beautifully rounded. So, like a tree. That seems to be pretty clear. The menorah was rounded. However, Based off of this source, we just read a second ago, that they made a menorah by sticking poles into the ground and creating some sort of, you know, probably arched shape, it seems to imply that the menorah was in fact not rounded, it was angular. If you look at number 9, at the bottom of the page, page number 9, bottom, right there is actually a ksav yad. It actually says the actual Rambam himself drew this picture.
It's like Chabad.
It's like Chabad, exactly. This is based off the actual, this is one of the few things I actually have from Rambam's actual handwriting. And he drew his menorah look like Chabad menorah. So the question was, was it a Ram menorah or was it an angle menorah? So many people suggest that they're probably both kosher. There could have been both designs could have been theoretically okay. So based off which one was currently used or currently being in service, based off the preferences of that Kohen Gadol, his style preferences, mitzvah, which one was used. But it's an interesting point. But this source seems to imply that it was more angular and not rounded, because so they could just stick poles into the ground to create the menorah. So the question is, if all this is true, it wasn't even a real menorah, it was hidden in the back of the Beis HaMikdash, no one can see what was going on, and they had such greater miracles. So what was the Pirsumei Nisa of Hanukkah that was so great that we still, to this day, are eating chocolate coins a month before Hanukkah, in the year 2018? So, if you turn to page numero 10. Rashi, on that Gemara, which says, the first thing he says something, which is completely against what you'd ever would have thought if you were giving your own commentary on the Gemara. Says Rashi, number 12. The Mefarsim Nisa, what was the great miracle? Says Rashi, Kivar hu goloi l'chol Yisrael al yidei shenahogu bo hamitzvos v'hichziku bo kishal Torah, and therefore v'lo nachon levatlo. Says Rashi, there's nothing special inherently about the miracle of Hanukkah. You're right. You couldn't see it. It was in the back. There were many other great miracles. The Alexander miracle maybe even greater. What made the miracle great was that the Jewish people treated it as being great. That's what made it so important. Since Klal Yisrael, we're nohag mitzvos, we had specific things we're going to do. We're going to light the menorah. We're going to say Hallel on Hanukkah. Therefore, the day became so important that they could not get rid of it from the Jewish calendar. And that's actually pretty explicit. Look at number 13 in the Megillas Tainus once again. Chanukas beis chashmonai ledoros. It's forever. V'loma, why is that? Ela sha'asa'uhu betseisa mitzara lervacha v'amru ba'hal v'hoda v'ligu ba'neros l'petahara. The reason why it's so important, the reason why we still celebrate to this very day, is because we gave it chashivas, we made it important, we treated it as a special day. If you look at underneath number 12, right there, there's a picture. It's black, but you can't tell, but that's a picture of black pearls, black Tahiti pearls. If you're thinking about black pearls, the history of black pearls, when they were first brought over to America to sell, no one would buy him for anything. The first importer could not sell him for his life. He was actually a Jew. And he's trying to figure out how does he sell these black pearls. So what did he do? He put them he got a fancy store in New York City, one of the big jewelry stores in New York City, to put them in the storefront together with very expensive fancy jewelry. So people started, oh, they obviously are very fancy. They're with the diamonds and the red rubies, whatever else is expensive and fancy. And once people say, oh, they really are? No, they really are special. Black pearls, they're so black. They're so special. So once it became so special, what happened was that the price went up and up and up and up and up. And now they're a fortune, black pearls. They're much more expensive even than white pearls. Since people gave them its importance, so now they became valuable. If you look at number 14, turn the page to number 11. There's a rather very sad story, which doesn't seem to be the case, in the Gemara Sanhedrin, but starts the Psukim in Melachim. During the times of the first base of Mikdash, Chizkiyahu HaMelech was the king at the time, and Sancheirev, the Assyrian general, surrounded the city of Yerushalayim, put a siege on the city, and was ready to destroy and wipe out the entire city. The whole Yerushalayim, with the base of Mikdash and everything. And he put a massive siege on Yerushalayim. And they were fasting and davening, God forbid to have the Jewish people, the Yerushalayim wiped out. If you look at number 14, says the Navi, Vayhi balayla hahu, and that night, Vayitzei malach Hashem vayach b'machane Ashur. A malach came and wiped out the Assyrian camp. Mea ushmonim v'chamisha elef, 185,000 soldiers. Vayashkimu baboker v'hinei kulam pegarim esim. The Jews walk up and were like, oh my God, everyone, all the non-Jew soldiers are all dead. This tremendous miracle took place. In one night, all of them died. So what was the reaction of the Jewish people? Says the Gemara number 15. Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Darash Bar Kapara, Bitzipori, Mipnima Kol Mem Shebeemsa Teva Pesach. In the actual Tanakh, all the mems in that parsha are all written sealed. Why is that? Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu La Asos Chizkiyahu Mashiach. God wanted Chizkiyahu the Mashiach. V'sancheir of Gog U'Magog. And Sancheir, this would have been the battle of Gog U'Magog. This would have ended all of Jewish suffering for eternity. Amra Midas Hadin Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then the Midas Hadin came and said, Ribono Shel Olam, Uma David Melech Yisrael She'amar Kama Shiros V'Shishbachos Lifanecha. David said so many things of praise to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo Asiso Mashiach Chizkiyahu She'asiso Lo Kol HaNisim Halo. This tremendous miracle. V'lo Amar Shira Lifanecha Taseo Mashiach. Says the Gemara, God wanted to make Chizkiyahu the Mashiach. This was going to be the end of Jewish suffering forever. But since he didn't say Shir, didn't think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what happened, so it all went away. And they remained till this very day. We still don't have Mashiach, has not come yet.
What does
the Kach mean? Miad is the next part of the Gemara. It's not that means the mem was closed off. Everyone here, it's funny, we have these lectures and we're preaching to the choir. Obviously everyone here identifies, at least to some, I don't think anyone here came because they thought I was going to say something anti-Zionist. So people come here to hear, be reinforced with our ideology, our hashkafa of, we believe in the value and the importance of the State of Israel. But to think, nowadays we hear and we maybe experience the fact that, we do have, we don't have this isn't the room filled to the rafters. Religious Zionism, whatever, do to each his own, do what you want, whatever, doesn't matter. Just, I feel it, I'm appreciative of it. I think Hashem, I think it's nice, whatever. But what this Gemara with Rashi by Hanukkah and what this Medrash is telling us over here, this Gemara in Sanhedrin, is that what we do matters. If we want, we all say every single week in Shul, in our Shuls, we say, and we say it and we daven for it and we hope it happens speedily in our days. But if we want it to be, if we want the statements not to be just, a nice thing, a nice event in Jewish history. So it was a nice event with Sancheirev and Chizkiyahu, and so were all these nice events in this Megillas Tanis, all of them are gone, no one even heard a single one. All nice events. If we want it to actually be, then we have to actually treat it like it is. So what we do on the day matters. That doesn't mean, I'm not saying that everyone has to, follow X and Y, whatever protocol from whatever institution may say this is what we do. It's a big machlokus how exactly to celebrate today. Even within our own quote unquote camp, there's a big range of opinions. In the Rabbanut, obviously, enacted Tefillah Chagigit, which is famous. Rabbi Soloveitchik was vocally very much not in favor of the Tefillah Chagigit. There are different opinions to what to do on the day, but to do something, to make it something real, to make sure that we don't just treat it like another day, to make sure that we understand that the way we treat the day determines what the day is, what it means to the Jewish people as a whole. And people, you know, I remember when I was in Shalavim, so we, on Yom HaTzmaut, they really want to make sure you really appreciate the day. So when you're Shana Aleph, I'm sure Yonatan can tell you this happened, they have all the Shalavim, Shana Aleph kids walk from Shalavim to Yerushalayim, which is around 20-something miles. It's awful. I absolutely hated it. But I did it because if you don't do it, you're looked at as like a big wuss and a wimp. Even though I am one, I don't want them to know that I was. I remember when I was, you know, Yerushalayim is on a hill, right? Yerushalayim, right? It's the top of the hill. So you're literally climbing up into Yerushalayim after this long teal from Shalavim. And I remember like literally we were climbing, I literally was like crawling up the mountain. My feet, every time I took a step, my feet were like in pain, like tremendous. And finally they reward you. You get to Yerushalayim, right at the edge of the city is Halot Teiman Shwarma. And the yeshiva's like, everyone can have one shwarma. And that's like the big reward for almost dying on the way to Yerushalayim that day. I remember also that it's also during Sfira. It's during Sfira. And the Poskei in Shalavim said, it's a sword to listen to music while you're walking to Yerushalayim. It's Sfira, you can't listen to music. He's like, you only listen to music if it's Mishum the Chag of Yom HaTzmaut. But to listen to music to keep yourself energy to keep going, a sword to do. So you couldn't listen to music. Whatever. So we get our shawarmas, and we finally, you get your shawarma, and like you have your burst of energy, and we run to the old city. Like we really run through the whole city of Yerushalayim to get to the old city, and we dance the Kotel. It's a beautiful day, it really is. But I remember when we were Shalavim, someone said, oh, you know that the gematria of Yom HaTzmaut is Bitul HaTorah. Because look what they do with the day. And while he's true, that is an accurate gematria. But look at number 16. This is really, I think, an important piece. This is an expanded version of Chizkiyahu's claim as to why he didn't say Shira. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Amar Chizkiyahu, Torah Shani Osek Ba Mechaperes Al HaShira. I want to say Shira, I'm going to learn instead. I don't need to do Hallel, I don't need to say thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nes. I'm learning the whole day. I'm at some point I'm doing. Amar Rabbi Levi, Amar Chizkiyo, Manutichin Lomar Nisa, V'gvura Asosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kfar Mudas Zos Misofa Olamad Ad Sofu. Everyone, I don't need to say Hallel, everyone knows it's an important day. Everyone knows it's so chashiv. I don't need to give my personal Hodah. But we value, we realize that the way we treat the day is so crucial and so important for determining the future of the value of the day for Jewish people. And whether we can't just say, you know, I'm gonna learn that day, whatever, but the important to say Shira, to give specific Hodah Kadosh Baruch Hu, whether it's with Hallel or not, whatever it may be, everyone has their own rabbi gives their own opinion on this matter. But to realize that the way we treat Yom HaTzmaut really determines that for the future, and we all daven, we daven and we daven again today, we daven every single day that we hope and pray that the state of Israel and our student today should be the Rishis Michas Gulasena. Thank you for coming.